2 past the hour of 4 o'clock. You are currently listening to one of the songs which were my favorite when it came out. It is PDK on this one titled Be the Best. Yeah. We be the best that we can be. Let me welcome you to the crossover, guys, on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's not that cold, at least. Yeah. Because we really experienced very, very cold weathers in the past few days. We had a cold front, even though we didn't know how long it was going to last. But we were informed that there was going to be a cold front that is starting Wednesday evening. We felt it on Thursday. We also felt it on Friday. So yesterday it was better. And today it's also not that cold. It is cold. Like, it is a normal winter day, but the cold is not that extreme like on Thursday. Yo, my goodness. Thursday it was cold as hell. Well, either way, let me thank Dad and Alvanda for keeping you guys company until this hour where I do take over and be with you until the hour of 6. And Hende will take over, that is from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8 with Eagle Spot Zone. Yeah, that is from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8. So welcome to today's crossover. Welcome. I feel like we will have an exciting conversation today. We have a guest. The past 2 weeks I was surgering all alone. Like, my guests just kept on not coming through and all that. But today we do have a guest. We will be engaging in a very special conversation. So I hope you are ready for that. You are going to enjoy it as well. So today is a lovely day, guys. Today is the 29th of June. So it's a very, very special day for us here at Eagle FM, or as the family of Eagle FM. As we all know, Eagle FM is Tate Walenga's baby girl, right? Yes. She's Tate Walenga's baby girl. She was born in the year 2019 on this very day. So she turned a powerful 6 years today. So if you are born today, you are celebrating your birthday today on this Sunday. You need to know that you are very privileged because you are sharing a birth date, with Eagle FM. Yeah. Our little girl, our little bundle of joy. She's 6 years old today. And, only thing that I can wish for her is, you know, to become more prosperous, you know, more prosperous. Yeah, she is really grown. I remember when I joined, she was about to turn 4 years. So this means that I've been around for, is it close to 2 years now? Or it is 2 years. I think so. Yeah. So Eagle FM is 6 years old today. Well, let's sing for her, man. Let's sing for her. And also, before I sing, let me just wish everybody born today, the 29th of June, a happy birthday to you as well, as I always do every Sundays. I've started a tradition where before I get into the day's conversation, I just wish you a happy birthday, you know. I think there's nothing nice than hearing somebody wishing you a happy birthday on air, even though I don't know who you are, because if I knew who you are, if I had your names, I was definitely going to say your names on air, because I know a lot of us really appreciate hearing our names, you know, just a shout out on air. I get it a lot. I get it a lot. I always have to tell people that, no, we don't just send shout outs at our radio station. I can't just go sit behind the mic and be like, okay, and then I'm sending a shout out to who. But if it is your birthday and you know me and you know it's coming up, well, don't hesitate to send that notification my way so that I definitely come wish you a happy birthday and also strictly say who you are. Who is it? that is celebrating their birthdays on that particular day. So happy birthday to you, and I hope you enjoy it to the fullest. Always remember that it only comes once in a year, so you should make the best out of it. Like, make the most out of it. After today, you will only celebrate it next year again. So do make the most out of it. So you can just imagine the happiness that we are all feeling today at Eagle FM. You know, the girl is really, she is really growing. 6 years, you know, 6 years. That's a lot. So it's really a privilege, watching her grow. It's really a privilege, being part of the growth, you know, to be part of the conversation. Eagle FM. Yeah, man. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. So it is happy birthday. I'm singing to Eagle FM. I'm also singing to you. I know I never sing for you guys, but yeah, like I said, today is very different. And thanks to the fact that I'm not with France, you know, France always judges my voice that I can't sing. I must just stop it. I'm making noise on air. Because I'm always singing on our Silozi show. I like to sing. And you know, he's most a vocalist. So we all know how these people can be. Instead of just telling me, no, don't push your voice in that manner. Push it in this way. Yes, you got it there. Instead, he tells me, nah, just shut up. You are making noise. You don't have the voice for singing. So thank God he is not here to say such things to me. But me, deep down in my heart, I know that I can sing. I just sang now and you guys heard me singing, right? So that means I do have the voice of singing. I don't care what the difference says. So I'll even continue singing on our Silozi show because I love to sing and I know I can sing. So it is 9 past the hour of 4. Today we have a guest, so I really don't want to, you know, eat so much time. I promised that I will be in touch with him at least by 4:30 so we can just get into the conversation. So let me just get, to what I usually do before we get to the conversation. And that is marketing this girl that has turned 6 good years today. 29 June 2025. Eagle FM is 6 years old. So I will start off with our e-paper, our sister e-paper, where you get you know, news on the business, news on economics, as well as you know, other news. And if you are not yet subscribed, believe me, you are missing out. This is why I come here, I sit here, and I rally behind you to make sure that you subscribe. You know, subscribing is very easy, does not take much of your time, or does not even cost anything. All you have to do is save the number 081-200-4144. That is the number you need to save. It's 081-200-4144. After you have saved that particular number, well, save it the Villager newspaper. I think that's the best name. You can actually save the number. After you have saved the number, send a WhatsApp message. You can probably just write the words, subscribe, and then wait for a response. After you get a response, and then you start receiving a free copy, 3 times in the week. That is on Mondays, on Wednesdays, as well as on Fridays. So it's a business, it's economic news, as well as policy development in the country. And you wouldn't want to miss any of these news updates, right? So every Mondays, every Wednesdays, every Fridays, once you've subscribed, you start receiving a free copy. And we all know that, you know, Eagle FM is everywhere and is accessible on your smart device anytime, anywhere. And this means minimal inconvenience. All you need to do is probably just get your earphones there, if you don't want to listen on the loudspeaker, and then you get informed. And also our complementary apps such as the Imba app. I've been emphasizing that we live in technologically advanced times. We cannot keep walking around with hymn books. No, they are also heavy. So download our Imba app. We have a few different hymns available there, and that means convenience for you. And also our Eagle FM app, it offers opportunities for businesses to increase their products and services visibility across the different consumers. And this is through our digital billboard that is on our Eagle FM app. A lot of people access our Eagle FM app, a lot. So if you have to advertise your business on our Eagle FM app, that actually means that your business or your product or services is actually going to be visible to a lot of different consumers out there who use or access our app. And also another thing is that our social media remains the most active in the country. That is not even something that you need to, you know, sit and debate with me about. No. And obviously this means that it provides opportunities for those who want to enhance their product or brand visibility, because we have the audience and you are looking for the audience. So we are the right people for you to do business with. So in a nutshell, that is us. Oh, I almost forgot our outside broadcasting van, you know, the studio on the wheels. The studio that comes to you if you want your event to be broadcasted to a wider audience, that is using our radio, our on-air radio, as well as our social media platforms. So there is a team that is readily available and can come to you wherever you are and live stream your event. So that is also another service that we offer here. As a business, we are a business. Always remember that. And of course, we are the leading and only talk radio station in Namibia. And today we turned a powerful 6 years, whole 6 years, guys. Whole 6 years. Well, I think I am right on time. I will just play the opening song for all of us, you know, to officially welcome us to the crossover. And after that, we will get into today's conversation before we get hold of our guest for today. And I will also not tell you what we are talking about right away. I will come let you know on the other side of La Sauce Mfini. Emma Fini. Yes, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Emma Fini.
It's legendary. Sondela, baby, is it Sondela lagu?
It is the sounds of La Sauce on this one that is titled Emma Feeney. Yes, so I actually pronounced it very well. I thought I was mispronouncing it, but it's such a lovely, lovely song, you know, especially on this Sunday afternoon. Probably as I should dedicate this one to all the lovers. You know, it's a love song. It's about love and all that. So to the lovers out there, I think this one is the one that I dedicate to you guys. And if you don't know this song, it is such a lovely song. You can actually just look it up. It is a song by La Sauce titled Emma Feeney. Now we continue. We move on to the part where I let you know, guys, that what are we talking about today, even though I know you might have seen on our socials what to expect. So we are talking about becoming proficient in the art of public speaking. Yes. You know, are you one of the millions who dread when it comes to stepping up to the microphone? Does the thought of presenting to a group fill you with fear? Does it? Or maybe you are a seasoned speaker looking to polish your delivery and connect even more deeply with your audience. Well, today that's what we are going to be discussing, you know, the fascinating and often intimidating world of public speaking. Yes. You know, how do we overcome stage fright to craft compelling narratives? That is what we are getting into today. And obviously me also, who is, you know, presenting this particular topic, I will be honest with you guys that I am one of the people who, even though the fear does not last long, I think the fear for me is before I walk to the podium, before I stand in front of people, that is when I feel the fear. Like I really feel my heart beating very fast. And then also as I'm walking to the podium, my heart is also pumping. And then when I start speaking, but then eventually I settle in and then I become very confident. So public speaking is not something easy at all. It is not something easy at all. You know, I really find it very appealing when I see people who are so comfortable to present or speak in public spaces or in front of audiences. And I'm like, how do they do it? And if they can do it, I am pretty sure I can also do it. To be honest, I can do it. I just need to figure out how I can do it, right? And so this is how it came about, to say, why not have an on-air discussion? Because you are not the only one. There is a lot of people out there who are also finding it difficult, you know, to speak in front of an audience or in front of people. So they have a fear when it comes to public speaking. And also the other thing that that also plays a role, especially for people like me who are radio presenters, you know, we speak to people we don't see. We interact with people we don't see. So that's comfortable. You know, we are in a very comfortable space. We present to people we don't see. So imagine from this whole thing right now, I'm all alone in this radio station, in the studio, and I'm having this conversation with you guys. Like I am sitting with you. I'm very comfortable. I'm confident and all that. Do you think I was going to be this confident if I was sitting with all of you who are tuned in right now? I'm assuming you are a lot tuned in right now. The question is, was I going to be able to speak to you in this manner that I'm speaking with you right now behind the mic where I know you don't see me, you can't see me, probably you'll never see me. So also, you know, radio presenting, I feel like it creates a certain comfortability that could contribute to the fear of public speaking. I believe so. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about other radio presenters, if it helps them to have confidence and not have the fear speaking in front of an audience. And in most cases, I've even used this when people try to put me in, you know, in speaking or delivering a message in front of a lot of people. I have to remind them, like, guys, remember, I work behind the mic. I work with people I don't see most of the time or all the time. I don't see people I work with at all. All I know is that they listen to me, they are hearing me, and they also know that I am there. I am conversing with them. That's it. So yes, that is what brought about this conversation. And so there is a word. There is a word that describes the fear of public speaking. So it is called glossophobia. I also didn't know about it. I just found out about this word. So the word is the fear of public speaking. You know, the fear of public speaking. And is this holding you back? Like, do you have a fear of public speaking? Well, you need to know that you are not alone. You are not alone at all. We are a lot. Even I, who is right now speaking to you, I can assure you that sometimes I get anxious if I am given the role to be in front of an audience or to, you know, speak to the public. But I have improved a lot. I have improved a lot. That's one thing I can assure you, right? So the big question is, why is public speaking so intimidating for so many? Or probably we should look for a definition of public speaking, in case maybe you are out there and you are listening and you don't know what is public speaking. But I'm assuming we all know what public speaking is, right? We do know, right? Nevertheless, public speaking is the act of delivering a speech or a presentation to a live audience. So it's a form of communication that involves conveying information, ideas or emotions to a group of people, often with the intention of informing, the intention of persuading or entertaining. Yeah, so that is public speaking in a nutshell. We all know. Public speaking, you have to be communicating with a number of people, either by delivering a presentation or just conveying information. And this information can be ideas, it can be it can be emotions to a group of people. So that is public speaking. And so when I was looking up for why people are so terrified to speak in front of others, I came across a, you know, I would say it's not really an article, but yeah, it is a contribution that I came across on LinkedIn. And it was written by Paul Gager, who is the founder of Public Speaking Advantage. And this is what the article had to say. So it was published in November 25th, that is last year, 2024. And Paul says that feeling terrified at the thought of speaking in front of others is something many people experience. And the fear of public speaking can feel all-consuming, whether it's a formal presentation, whether it's a casual team meeting, or even a social gathering. You might worry about stumbling over your words, forgetting what you plan to say, or simply looking foolish. So these thoughts can spiral, making the mere idea of standing in front of a crowd seem impossible. But why does this fear grip so many of us? More importantly, how can you learn to conquer it? Because you can conquer it, believe me. If you are living in a fast-paced city like Windhoek, where opportunities to engage with people abound, understanding and addressing this fear is more than just helpful. It's empowering. Yes, my type of career, I have to engage with a lot of people. And engaging with people, it is bound to happen, whether you like it or not. And sometimes maybe you just find yourself being told, okay, I need you to go do a public presentation. And you're like, huh? And you can't run away from it, right? You just have to do it. You have to go do that public presentation. So how do you do that? This is why you need to understand and address this fear, because it is going to be very helpful to you. And at the end of the day, you are going to be very empowered. So the fear of public speaking or glossophobia isn't unusual. It's one of the most common fears worldwide. Many people feel anxious about standing in front of a crowd, but this fear often goes deeper than simple stage fright. It can stem from psychological, social, and even physical factors. So here are some reasons why public speaking might feel so intimidating. Well, the first reason is that fear of judgment. You know, the thought of being scrutinized by others can be paralyzing. You might wonder if people will judge your ideas, criticize your delivery, or even mock you silently. So this fear often leads to second guessing and hesitancy, which can compound the anxiety. So the second reason is the lack of experience, which is very true. If you've rarely spoken in front of others, it's natural to feel unprepared. Without regular practice, even simple speaking tasks can feel monumental, to be honest. So another reason why public speaking might feel so intimidating is the lack of experience. And another reason is perfectionism. You might hold yourself to unrealistically high standards, believing every word must be flawless and every gesture perfectly timed. This pressure can make the act of speaking feel like walking a tightrope. Another reason is that past negative experiences, maybe a single awkward or embarrassing speaking event can stick with you for a long time. And this can make it very harder to shake the fear of repeating that experience. So past negative experience is also one of the reasons why you might have fear of public speaking. Another reason is psychological responses. Public speaking often triggers the body's fight or flight response. You know, sweaty palms, shaky hands, a pounding heart, especially the pounding heart part. Like, you even hear your heart pounding in your ears. Boom, 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 boom. And you just wonder, what is happening? Or even a dry mouth. You know, they can make it harder to feel confident. So these physical symptoms can become a feedback loop, worsening your mental anxiety. So recognizing the root of your fear is the first step to overcoming it. Always remember that. Once you understand why speaking in front of others feels so daunting, then you can begin to tackle the issue head on. Akiri, I say that this issue, you can actually face it head on. You can face it head on, because one day or 1 month or 1 year, you will find yourself in a situation where you have to speak to an audience, where you have to give a public presentation. And if you keep on, you know, giving space to the fear of public speaking, that is not going to be helpful to you. And we just found out now that the way to go about it is to figure out why do you always have fear to speak in front of the public or an audience? Is it one of the reasons that I gave you, or is it more and you are aware of that issue? You know, is it the fear of judgment? Is it the lack of experience? Is it the issue with you trying to be perfect in everything, perfectionism? Is it past negative experiences? Is it the psychological responses? Which one is it? Either way, when you recognize the root of your fear, that is the step to overcoming it. And once you understand why speaking in front of others feels so daunting, then you can begin to tackle the issue head on. So without any time wasting, we will go on a musical break. It is 33 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. So it is 27 minutes to the hour of 5. We will head to a musical break. And after that, our guest will be joining us right here. Here is sounds of Miss Toni Braxton on this one titled Long As I Live. Long as I can live, I'll never get over you.
Really like her that way. And now I'm trying not to lose my mind.
It is the sounds of Miss Toni Braxton on this one titled Long As I Live. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now 22 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock, and before the musical break, well, I promised you guys that I will be joined by our guest for today, after the musical break. And of course, here he is. And one thing that I do on the crossover is that I do not introduce the guests. I give them the pleasure to introduce themselves. But sometimes I feel like when you introduce somebody, you don't give them justice. So rather leave the ball in their court so that they can roll it. Good afternoon.
Hello.
How are we?
I'm good. How are you, Abigail?
I'm good, good.
Yes, my name is Menashe Chabayanzara. I'm an author, and I authored 2 books. And also I'm a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. In the industry for the past since 2020, actually. Yeah, so it's exactly 5 years.
So it's a good 5 years.
It's a very good 5 years. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing public speaking, in my own capacity from high school time, and so that's where this discussion, this whole issue was developed from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There we go, guys. We have all heard who is joining us in this conversation, and I believe you agree with me why he is our guest for today, because he is very well knowledgeable in this particular topic that we are having today. You have been speaking since high school, publicly.
Yes. Publicly.
Menashe, that could never be me. That could never be me. I never pictured myself speaking in high school. I even remember I always liked to participate in these dramas that used to take place in high school.
Okay.
My Future Is My Choice. And usually when you have completed those sessions that we used to do, they would give us certificates at the end of, completing those series. Or I don't know how to call them.
Yeah.
So these certificates, we would get them at the school assembly where everybody is. And imagine, every time, I don't even know how many certificates I got. I think it's 3.
Okay.
And every time when it was time to call my name, Abigail Nalisa, to go in front to go get my certificate.
Yes. It was something.
It was an issue. So now I'm relating that story of mine to your story.
Yes.
Of like, okay, in high school, you were able to speak publicly. When I couldn't even just go in front and go collect a certificate that I achieved. Wow. People are really different.
I remember the first time that I stepped onto the stage. I remember vividly. I was grade 10 that time. It was a debate session.
Yeah.
And, you know, anxiety is a real thing. It's a real thing.
It is.
My legs shaking, and we're wearing shorts, you know, shorts. So now you're wearing shorts and you can feel your legs are shaking, and you can feel everybody's watching that your legs are shaking. That was the first time. And then English decided to be a foreigner that day.
Yeah. Because it does that.
It does that.
English has this tendency of just disappearing on you when you need it the most.
It just leaves you stranded, and then you have to scramble to ask for assistance from your local language.
Imagine.
Yes. So I remember very well. I was grade 10 that time.
Yeah.
Then there, I told my, but that was, it was a good experience.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
The thing with public speaking is this. The moment you walk in onto the stage, if it's your first time, I'm articulating it the way I felt it.
Mm-hmm.
When I went onto the stage, it was a debate session, and I was the second speaker. Those who know debate, we have first, second, third. I was the second speaker, so you do most of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
I was passionate about doing most of the talking because I want to be on the, you know, say, Munashe was explaining well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm nervous. I'm like, okay, this is the moment. Everybody's looking at me.
Yeah.
How am I going to handle this? So at first, it was difficult. You're trying to grasp your English because you have planned your approach.
Mm-hmm.
You have planned your approach, but the moment you now feel like you are slowly diverting from your approach,
mm-hmm.
that's when you start to feel like, okay, now I have to save myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so those are some of the things. But anyways, that was just a bit of a background of my first experience. I believe you have your first experience on air.
Yes. On air.
Yes.
And imagine it's on air, eh? You are talking to people who can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it was the scariest thing. And I had to endure having to come back to keep doing that on a daily basis until I got comfortable. It is also the same thing with public speaking.
Yes.
I remember the very first time that I can really say I had an experience with public speaking was 2021.
Okay.
Where, because now I was enrolled as a media studies student. So probably these family members, they just felt like I had the capacity to go stand in front of people. And this was my cousin's funeral. So I was chosen to go read his biography.
Okay.
In front of a lot of people in church. Monashi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember asking my father, I'm like, why do you do this? Because, you know, my father has this tendency of if I'm around and there's anything that has to do with speaking or presenting.
Yes.
Like he just gives me away.
Okay.
And I always have to tell him, like, you know, being in this profession, it does not automatically come with this skill of public speaking. You know, I don't have it. I'm also still trying to find it. I'm looking for it. So that was the first time I actually had the experience, you know, of like speaking in front of an audience. And I remember I was so nervous reading that biography, but I did it. And after that, I was like, I can do it, man.
I can do it.
I still get nervous, but the nervousness, it's when I'm sitting there knowing my name will be called anytime now.
Mm-hmm.
To go in front of the podium and have to now speak in front of these people. But I am really, really getting better. Earlier this year, a friend of mine lost her husband.
Okay.
And she chose me to go read her message of condolence in front of a lot of people again in church.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as I was sitting there when I saw people going in front, so the people who came before me, it was the late kids, like small kids, man.
Okay.
And they really spoke so confidently about the memory of their father. And I was like, if they can do it, I'm going to slay this message of condolence from the widow. And I went on that podium. I spoke. I was reading. I was looking at the people. I was like, okay, we are getting there. We are getting there, Abigail. So, yes. So if you just tuned in, guys, today we are incredibly fortunate to have Monashe Chavayanzara, who is very familiar with public speaking with us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I think we should just get right into the conversation, even though we are already into the conversation. But yeah, let's get right into it. So Monashe, many, many people experience a significant level of anxiety when it comes to public speaking. From your experience, what do you believe is the root cause of this widespread fear? And what's the very first practical step someone can take to begin to manage those nerves? Okay, these are like two questions.
Okay.
So you can start off. What do you believe is the root cause of this widespread fear?
You know, the number one cause, which I think is the pinnacle center point of this discussion, is the language proficiency. You know, when we talk about language proficiency, there's this tendency, I believe you have also experienced it, of English people having they have doubt in their English to say, ah, no, my English is not so good. I have very poor English, but yet most public speakers actually have very good English. So you kind of state yourself to a, you become, you have a low self-esteem, and you tend not to believe in yourself that you can actually speak. So when someone has a low self-esteem, it's very difficult to motivate that person. Because anxiety, it's something that can go away with practice. You know, they say that everybody, we always have to face our fears if we don't want to trouble them, if we don't want them to trouble us. So the moment you decide to face your anxiety and say, okay, I'm going to go up, I'm going to practice my English, it becomes better. And some people, lack of preparation in general. You want to deliver a powerful message to the audience, but you are not prepared enough. You didn't dissect your topic to see if you are if your message is in line with the title or it's out of the title. So it's always good to prepare. So when we talk about preparing, you must have all the materials to your disposal. You know, if you are prepared, if you are going to talk about, I'm also in the health sector, so I usually try to do more reference to the health sector. So let's say you are in the health sector, you must make sure that you are well versed with whatever angle your topic has, so that you can elaborate it from within you, not from within your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a speech that comes from the inner heart itself. You are speaking things from the inner heart. Then there's a speech that comes from the mind. I used to memorize. One of the good talents that God gave me is the power to memorize. I can memorize.
Mm.
So when you are speaking from a memory, the level of connection you have is quite different. So a lot of people, they don't tend to prepare very well on that part. And also we can have, someone can just have the type of event you are preparing for to engage with. It's different when you are given the platform to present to a classroom of your classmates. These are your friends. These are people who you interact with every day. Sometimes you're given a whole different portfolio. What if you are presenting in Independence Stadium? There may be Independence Day. You know, just the thought of saying, I'm going to be presenting in the presence of this dignitary and this one, it can already cause anxiety. Cause what is going to run in your mind is you want to go in and try to become perfect. Of which public speaking is not about perfection. It's about how you articulate yourself. You can make one single mistake in pronouncing a word, or you can actually forget a certain part of your presentation. But the whole idea is that how fast are you able to what? To bring yourself back into the main topic. That is only possible when you are well prepared. So, yeah, those are some of the things that I can physically correlate with more. And also when you have, before I joined in, I heard you say that about negative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe once in a while your first experience wasn't the best experience. And then you felt like, ah, no, I'm really not meant for this.
Mm.
That's that's one of the setbacks. That's one of the favorable conditions for anxiety to germinate, if we can put it like that. The moment you put your negative experiences to decide your current and your future experiences, anxiety is already at its peak. So we need to dissect, to understand as human beings that we are people who are evolving. No one grew up with a skill. We all evolve our skills. And the best way to evolve our skills is when we practice them. The moment you learn that, you know that you every day you are getting better and better. Mm-hmm. That's how I can put it like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving to the next point, beyond just calming nerves, what does proficiency in public speaking truly mean to you? I know you have mentioned preparation, making sure you are prepared.
All right. So proficiency in public speaking, we are mostly trying to focus, let's say, to focus on how you deliver a message to an audience, to an audience, having that confidence and that clarity and also that impact. Because remember, the key element of public speaking, actually, you need to make sure that you are able to clarify and to articulate yourself. It's different from knowing something. You can know, you can be knowledgeable about a certain topic, but you might lack the capacity to deliver that topic to the next person.
Mm.
You know? So a proficient public speaker is someone who has that capacity to deliver a message with emotion, applied to the emotion, to the message. You must know your tone, the tone you are using, the physical gestures you are making, so that the audience can actually get in the same realm as you are in. You understand? So that's the main issue. That's the main the center point of being proficient in public speaking. We can also talk about how you organize your content. You know, as a person, you must have content that is organized. You must know that if I start my speech in this manner and I align it like this, just a general framework, it's very important to engage, because delivery of information has to be logical. That's why you can even see in our education system, we have what we call syllabuses for every subject.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take for a syllabus, you see that there's a first topic, second topic, third topic. You can't start teaching the last topic when the person doesn't know the first topic. So the way you logically arrange the content about your speech is very important, so that the people can remain engaged with you. It's a skill that a public speaker actually has to do what? Has to practice. And again, before people take you serious, the way you present yourself as a human being is also very important. The way you dress yourself.
Mm.
When you're going to talk to people, I hear people say that, I heard of a saying that say that people address you according to the way you are dressed. If you are coming for a business meeting and you are dressed like you are going to a nightclub, people won't take you seriously. I was once having a discussion with another colleague of mine, and he was saying, we were debating, we were dressed, well, my friend was dressed otherwise, and I was dressed otherwise. And we were saying, do you know that you guys, if we give you the same point, let's say go and market a business, and you have the same words of marketing, the one who's dressed in a certain way might be able to attract a client compared to someone who's dressed in another way. Because people take you seriously when they see how you are dressed.
Yeah.
So as a public speaker, you must always make sure you present that dress code that makes people to see that you're an organized person in your own area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it will make them engage you. It's quite very important that before you even speak, the moment you go into the stage, the way you handle yourself, the way you are going to raise your hand, the way you are going to smile, it must really have the capacity to what? To drag the people, to attention towards you. So that every word you're going to be speaking from there forth, they take you seriously. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll be going for an ad break in 2 minutes' time, but I'll let you.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the ultimate goal we should be aiming for when we step up to the podium or even a virtual meeting?
All right. You need to know, first of all, what type of information you want to deliver and what type of audience you are delivering it to. If it's a poem, you know, you look at the type of audience you are talking to. If it's the elderly, they don't have that you know, if you are delivering a poem to the elder and it's in English, and you know very well that your audience English, they know basic English. They don't know this Shakespeare English that you are going to be exposing them to.
Mm.
So you need to simplify your content to know that the type of audience you are addressing, are these scholars, are this, is this a community which I want to educate something on they have no idea of? So the understanding of the type of audience you are dealing with is very important. Am I dealing with business people? Then I need to make sure that my English is A point. Am I dealing with scientific people? Then I need to make sure that a simple word in English, I can change it to a scientific term so that we are operating in the same realm. You know, you shouldn't be ahead of your, in your speech, but your audience should be behind you. They won't understand it. And also, you need to know how to engage. As I've explained engagement with your audience. Engagement, we are talking about your gestures, okay? How you smile, the smile you are going to put in, the serious face you are going to put in, the way your hands are being raised, the way your shoulders are being aligned to the structure of your body. All those things are really important when you are what? When you are stepping on the podium. So, and also you need to make sure that you clarify information that looks complex with examples.
Mm.
You have to clarify, but there's some information that if I tell
okay.
you...
Okay, just quickly hold on for me.
Okay.
To buying data hoping it will last, then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge as we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Always prepare, Paratus. Always prepared, Paratus. I like that last statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can continue.
Okay. I was talking about clarity.
Yeah.
That to clarify some complex information, you need to simplify them so that people can easily understand. It's better to use simple English than to use these extremely big words. Although they are tasty, you know, when you say them out, it means you are well articulated of what you're saying. But sometimes we tend to lose our audience because of that. Okay, so yeah, that's how I can answer the key steps that you need to follow when someone is stepping onto the podium or each one of them.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the message itself. Are there key elements of a truly compelling speech or presentation, or are there universal principles that apply to whether you are speaking to a small team or you are speaking to a larger audience?
All right. We are talking about the message, the type of message that you are trying to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you must know what you are trying to say first. Like, what is the takeaway message that you want to your audience to go away with? So it depends on the type of speech you are doing and in which capacity you are doing that speech. So the takeaway message, because speeches are not done for fun. They are done to educate. They are done to elaborate. They are done to make people understand a common vision.
Mm-hmm.
So the takeaway message that you have is the one you should focus on. So your speech must be centered on a clear purpose that is transparent and not very difficult to grasp. So you must find a way also to make it easy for your audience to remember the content that you are about to say. So when we talk about an easy way to make an audience remember, you must use examples. Okay? Life examples. I have come across, I usually listen to Vusi, this South African public speaker.
Mm-hmm.
He is very vexed with business topic. financial literacy is not an easy subject that everybody can understand.
It's not easy at all.
Yeah. Mm. But when it's articulated in an example, I don't know, Abigail, if you have ever read this famous book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you ever read about it?
No.
It's a very good book. You should look for it by Robert Kiyosaki.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy tries to give financial literacy through a story about his childhood. So he will be comparing the characteristics that make rich people rich and the characteristics that make poor people poor.
Yeah.
So he gives it as an example, as a life example, so that everyone can relate to it and understand, okay, so for me to earn more money, I need to invest in assets and not liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is a liability? He just says it's something that takes away money from you. But if we talk to accountants and we ask them, what's a liability? Definition you can never imagine or understand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying, that you must make the information easy for your audience to grasp and remember. And I am telling you, this book, I read it some 5 years ago, but I still remember each and every detail, because the information was said in a story. You know? Mm. Yes. And you must try when you are talking to people, your message, the introduction is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
How you introduced your topic, your introduction must capture, must contain the overall handbook of what you're gonna be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So some of the things that we can use in introduction. And remember my very first speech, which I did when I was in high school, I called it "What is Success?" And in those days, I never learned about any public speaking. Public speaking, I taught it myself and learning from other people who are well in it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always make sure to do in my introduction is to start with a powerful quote. You know, you quote someone great.
Yeah.
And that captures the
people's attention.
Exactly. When you put me, Nelson Mandela once said, people now know that they are dealing with Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
They are no longer dealing with Menashe. It's something that has reference to greater people. So this information has to be what? Has to be important.
Yeah.
You can start with a powerful quote, or you can start with statistics. Especially when you are giving a public speaking, maybe you are advocating for HIV and AIDS, you start and say, statistics present that Namibia has that percentage of these cases. People are now seeing that, okay, so this is a real issue. Because the statistics is telling me that this is a problem to this probability.
Mm-hmm.
So if those are, that's a strong opening. A strong opening will actually what? Capture people's
attention.
Or you can use a story that many people relate to. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I once did a speech which I was talking about, my entire message was based on the fact that your talent is very important, investing your talent. That was the keyword.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I presented it, I asked a question to the audience, like, okay, all of us here, when we were 8, we all wanted to be doctors, pilots, you know, engineers.
Mm-hmm.
How many are now engineers?
Yeah.
How many are now engineers?
Yeah.
Then everybody's now asking themselves, okay, indeed, at some point in my life, I said I want to be a doctor, but look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a doctor. What happened? People are now asking themselves questions in their head. And as they're asking themselves questions, they don't have the answers.
Yeah.
They know who is. That is you. So now they have to pay attention to what? To what you're about to say.
Mm.
Yeah, so a strong opening is very important. I already talked about structured organization and powerful delivery. You need to have the energy. You know, you need to have the energy and confidence to deliver your message. Eye contact is very important. Look at the people on the right, look at the people in the center on the left. You need to have eye contact with your adjudicators, with your audience, so that they catch the emotion that is coming out of your head.
Mm-hmm. So in today's information saturated world, how crucial is storytelling in public speaking? I know you have mentioned, something like storytelling, making it simple, especially in complex, explanations or presentations. How crucial is storytelling in public speaking?
Okay. I just remembered in one of my university assessments, we had something that we said case studies. Case studies. Like I told you, I'm in the medical field as well. Mm-hmm. So with case studies, you are presenting a scenario of a patient, you know, and you are telling it like a story. There's a 30-year-old female who presented to the hospital with blah, 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 blah. Blood blood tests were done, and they said this. I guarantee you that by the time I finish explaining using a case study, people now know that what we are talking about is real.
Mm.
Because I have articulated my information as a what? As a story. You understand?
Yeah.
That's one way. So stories provide a meaning, because many people like to hear. And, we all like to hear stories. That's why movies is one of the most entertainment media is one of the most profitable businesses in the world, because we all like stories, you know. Series, everybody is so attracted to series, because when we hear a story, it becomes easier for the brain to understand. So yeah, stories, you need to really put a message in into a story to prove a point, or to illustrate a value, or to inspire an action that is needed. We can give an example. Maybe my topic is about never give up. You know, that's my speech, never to give up.
Yeah.
But if I started with a personal story, okay, when I started my life, it was like this, and you know those motivational speakers. We always try to present our story. Like, I started a restaurant with $1, you know. People can say that. I started this with $1, and I went from that.
Yeah.
By the time you are finishing, the story is already telling the audience that we must never what? Never give up.
Yeah.
And they will remember that story for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I feel like our next point it's something that you already explained.
Okay.
Which is sharing an example of how a simple story can make a complex topic more understandable and memorable. In this part, you gave an example of, you know, when you're giving a financial presentation,
mm-hmm,
where there are complex terms. So you use simple terms to try, or simple stories, or simple examples to try and, make that complex word or complex, topic more understandable. But maybe you might want to, add something on this point if you feel like you want to share an example of how a simple story can make a complex topic more understandable and memorable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you still remember how mathematics was taught to us in primary school? I didn't enjoy mathematics.
Yes.
But when it involved, if it's 5 minus 2, I might get the answer wrong.
Yeah.
But if you took $5 minus $2, I will tell you the answer.
Very true.
Because when we are talking about money, I'm now relating it more.
Yeah.
You know, than just a simple number, a simple raw figure. You know, if it's now told in a word problem, Jane had 5 apples, it gave Peter 2 apples, and then they give the rest, they divided them by 2. Now tell us how many are left. You are imagining the scenario that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you actually make things easier to understand. This is just a small example that I can give. And already, like I told you, our accountant, they can tell you a liability is what. It's been a while since I did accounting, but it is something, so it's a whole calculation there.
Mm-hmm.
But by some fact, a liability is just something that takes away money from you. An asset is something that brings money to you.
Mm-hmm.
These are just how we simplify things just by using small stories. We can tell you a whole story for you to just go home with a message to say never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as an example. So that's how I think that's all I can say.
That's actually a very lovely example, you know, because we can all relate to that.
You can all relate to that.
Yeah.
Something that it relates to.
Yeah.
That's why music has a powerful impact in our hearts.
Yes. It has a universal language.
Exactly. Music, no matter how complex it is,
yeah,
but when you
relate to it,
how much information is being said about it, but when you relate to it, you always understand it, because it's coming to you with a rhythm,
mm-hmm.
With a story behind, but with one message.
Yes.
That's the importance of storytelling.
So, there was a year I experienced heartbreak for the first time from my first boyfriend.
Okay.
And I remember how I coped in that heartbreak season. Mm-hmm. Was listening to Tupac. I've been a Tupac girl, you know, but I think in that season it was extreme.
Okay.
And I remember a friend of mine asked, why am I listening to Tupac during a heartbreak, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to explain to her that I'm actually relating to the messages in his songs, and they are, you know, they are soothing to my heart.
Yeah.
And they are making me feel good or feel better or believe that I am going to overcome this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when you spoke about relating to music and all that, that is the place I went back to, because somebody wouldn't have understood, like, okay, you are going through a heartbreak and you are listening to rap.
Mm-hmm.
No. When you are going through heartbreak, you're supposed to be listening to Vol, Luther Vandross, Tony Braxton, you know. But in that moment, I was relating to, you know, rap music.
Mm-hmm.
So many speakers struggle with the structure when it comes to public speaking. So do you have a go-to framework or an easy-to-remember blueprint for organizing a presentation that ensures clarity and impact?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to use this. That you should have before you sit down.
Mm-hmm.
We call it TAR, all right? The word TAR, STAR. So S standing for the situation. You need to understand the situation you are trying to address. Okay? Like, what is on the ground? What are the statistics that you have?
Yeah.
To support that we have a situation that deserves a speaker to come and address. You know, after you've understood the situation, you need to know your task. Okay, you know the situation is like this. Then what is my task? My task is to make sure that I make the people understand the severity of what I'm talking about. I make the people become convinced of what I want them to know. Maybe you want to strike a deal. You need to convince the people listening to you. That's a task. Okay, my task is to make sure that by the end, by the time I walk out of this meeting, by the time I walk out of this presentation, I would have won a tender in my organization. Then the next thing is the action. So when we say about the action now, this is how you are putting your situation and your task, and you find a solution, then you put it on paper. All right, you are now saying, that's where you are now saying, okay, I'm answering to the situation, and I'm in the back of my mind, I know what is my task is. Then let me connect the two and put them into words, which can be which someone who reads it can feel the action, the impact of the what of the speech that I've just delivered. Mm-hmm. And the last letter R, which really stands for result. Now you are thinking about, okay, after my speech, what is the result? The result and the task are more or less the same thing. what are the results? Did my speech really impact the people, or I didn't impact the people, or was my test satisfied or not? That's all. So when you are, these are the things that you must have in the back of your head when you are writing what? A speech. And of course, we have already known from our English, we need an introduction, a body, and a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
These are things you need to know. But it's not just about an introduction. An introduction needs to have clarity. Like we said, how do you start with your introduction? Are you going to start with a question? Are you going to start with a quote? Are you going to start with a personal story, a short story? Are you going to start with an image if it's a visual meeting? Or mm-hmm. are you going to start with a statistic that will astonish people? So how you start is also part of what? Of the intro. And this is the most critical point, because if you start by disengaging the people, you have lost them throughout the rest of the of your presentation. And then, so these are some of the things that are in the introduction. And at the end of the introduction, you must always make sure that you establish the purpose of your presentation. Why are people sitting down there to listen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your purpose? You must tell them to say, okay, by end of my presentation, I want you guys to understand that this and this, so that they already know that whatever the direction you are going to take them through, there's an end point, and that end point is this circle.
Mm-hmm. So once the message is clear, it's about delivery. What are some often overlooked aspects of nonverbal communication? You know, things like eye contact, gestures, or even posture that can significantly enhance or detract from a speaker's presence.
Okay. Like we say the posture already. The posture is a very good point you raised there.
Mm-hmm.
The way you do gestures in front of people, like I told you, this makes people, like, how people take you seriously.
Yeah.
When you are explaining a point and you are using your hands up and down, people start to communicate. They see the seriousness. They see the emotion that is coming out from you.
Mm.
But when you just speak with your hands, like a police officer on a parade, people look at you like that. There's an example which was just clicking in my head. At church, there's this music that we call worship.
You know?
Worship music, when you hear it, it has that, it just makes you feel like you want to raise up your hand.
Yeah.
It just makes you get in that mood. You know, why are we going? You can't listen to it whilst you're, is because you won't interact with the song very well. You understand? So the gestures are very important in every scenario, and how you dress, people take you seriously with how you present yourself as a human being. Your haircut, your hairstyle, the suit you are wearing, you know, all those aspects of dressing, they are really important. And of course, your visuals, eye contact, okay? It's very also important. And your emotions. You know, there are some topics that when we speak, we become too emotional. You don't have to become too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Your message of emotions to the audience, not to you. You know, maybe you are talking about, like you said, at some point you were speaking about on the funeral of your friend, if I heard correctly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, In such a scenario like that, the words that you're articulating, the audience must feel the emotions in the words, the choice of words. They must, are the ones who must feel the emotion, okay? Not you feeling the emotion more than the audience itself.
Mm.
Okay. But of course, it depends with the scenario, but those are some of the things. Maybe you're explaining about you are angry about a complaint and you want to put the complaint. You have to make people understand the emotion that you are having through your selection of words and the tone. The tone is very important also. You must have a calm voice. You shouldn't shout. When you are presenting your topic, you must be audible. People must not struggle or sleep when you are speaking.
Mm. Right. We are almost done. We are almost at the end of our interaction, our conversation. So in an increasingly digital world, you know, virtual public speaking has become essential. What are one or two critical tips you have for making a strong impact when you are speaking to an online audience? Now, considering things like there's a camera, there's also engagement strategies.
Okay. So when there's a camera, your mission is to look into the camera. Focus on the whole camera there. That's your main mission, because when you look into the screen, the people who are seeing you on the other side, they'll see as if you are not engaging with the what? With them. Also the position of the camera. So you must look into the camera and not on the screen and have eye contact with it. And you must also start very strong, because online engagement, there's a higher probability that the person on the other side is not listening to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a higher probability. But when you start strong, with those keynotes that I've already mentioned, your start is very important. The way you start in the first 3 seconds is very important. And you can do it with a story. We already mentioned a story, a question, or a crazy statistics that you have found. And you must keep conscious and focused, and you must continue to engage with your what? With your listeners. In the middle, if it's not a formal, if it's not a continuous presentation whereby you only have to talk and you only stop talking at the end. People don't interact with you during your talking. But for some, whereby it's a conversation whereby you are articulating and you give your audience time to ask questions, you must always make sure you engage them. You speak for a minute or a second, you say, are we understanding it, guys? Another minute or second, is it clear? So that you, whenever you say, is it clear? Is there something that someone can hear? Is the word, is it clear? Are we understanding? They might not have heard you throughout. But when you say, is it clear? Their mind clicks that, oh, I need to pay attention. Maybe they were diverted for a while. So it's always important to have those small breaks, not to go continuous, especially when it's a virtual interaction. That's if they have that chance to do so. You need to make sure that your voice tone is very proper, the microphone is working very well, and because a clear voice is necessary. And of course, you need to, if you have the eye capability, maybe you are presenting a PowerPoint, it's a PowerPoint presentation, and your voice is a voiceover on that PowerPoint presentation. It's very important to use visuals for people to easily follow, because they don't have you in person, but they have your voice. So voice is much better when you explain with the what, with a visual background behind, bold images, icons, keywords, and things like that. Just boldening your presentation. And you must always make sure that if it's something that whereby people are seeing you over the camera, you must be dressed appropriately.
Yeah.
You cannot have a business meeting and you are what you call a bonnet in your head and you have your camera on. It's not proper. You must make sure that your background is looking very professional and there are no kids running up and down. You minimize the distraction. Because the moment you are going to have a lot of discussion, the distractions, people are going to start focusing on the distractions instead of the message you are giving them.
Mm.
So that's what I can say.
Wow. And finally, if you could leave our audience with just one piece of advice, you know, one golden rule for anyone looking to become proficient when it comes to public speaking, what would it be?
I would say patience. Be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, no one came to earth knowing everything or anything. All the skills we have learned them through practice, you know. So you always have to be patient with yourself and know that you are capable of doing it if you want to, but give yourself the time to understand that, okay, I'm in this phase of growing and growing and growing, and be patient with yourself. And also one thing I can say, public speaking, the main pinnacle point about public speaking is how confident you are when you're in front of people. We talk about anxiety. And of course, anxiety is something that can only go when you face it. Okay? You have to face it. You have to practice more until you are confident. You start with a small group. Then you move to your classmates or your workmates. After that, you are moving to a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger group. The next time, you won't even realize that you are anxious. Words are just out of your mouth and all automatic. So be patient and practice is what I can actually say. And start, if you feel like you love it, start it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Menashe, for sharing your invaluable insights with us today. Where can our listeners find more information about your work or just to connect with you?
Okay. I'm mostly more active on social media, Facebook, Chabanzara, Instagram, Menashe Chabanzara. Email Menashe with a Y at the end, Chabanzara, oneword@gmail.com. For those who want to have more interaction in terms of this public speaking, you can as well feel free to contact me. Before, are we allowed to give our phone numbers on air?
That is up to you. If you are comfortable with sharing your number, well, you can do that.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Those who are willing to find more information on how public speaking is done, they can freely call and contact me on 085-781-9975. Maybe to repeat, 085-781-9975.
Thank you so much. I like to ask my guest what they would like to listen to, because I know you are going to listen. So please shoot.
Okay. You caught me red handed, but I'm a classic guy. I like classic music a lot.
No, classic music is golden music.
Yeah, maybe for today, if we go back in time and play The Gambler by Kenny Rogers.
The Gambler. I think this is the song you also requested when you were here the first time.
That song is very important. That song really captures my attention very well. Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. The song is coming right up.
Thank you very much for having me.
Have a lovely week ahead of you.
Wonderful. Same here to you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Yes. So that was Menashe Chabanzara joining us in today's conversation about public speaking. And I hope, you know, his insights were impactful, or they are going to be impactful to you. If you find yourself struggling with public speaking, you know, there are a few golden tips that he left us with. That is to make sure that, number one, you are prepared. You know, make sure whatever you're going to present or whatever you're going to deliver, you are prepared on, you know what it is about. Right? For me, I feel like that is the most important rule that all of us need to follow. Preparation. Preparing. It is now 28 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. I did not even feel the time. So we were with Menashe for almost an hour. Wow. It didn't feel like an hour. Nevertheless, here is The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. And of course, after this one, I'm going to play Lionel Richie. Love, love. Yeah. I will see you on the other side, right? Yeah. And also, if you'd like to come through, you can come through. That is on 083-288-401.
We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life
out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up,
when to hold up,
know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the deal is done.
All the wonders love can bring give us strength and understanding. Give us all one song to sing. Let the music play. Play it loud and make it clear. It's time to stand up to a new world that is now so near. All the walls are falling down. No more children off to war. If we search in our hearts, all this suffering will be no more. Children, let them see that love, oh love, what a blessed thing, oh yeah, say it loud,
guess there's nothing more to say. Luckily you blind me, you act so strange, but I'm here, and here I will stay. So every day I cry,
every day,
yes, every day I fall,
every day,
you are the one. Why I love everything about you, but every day I see, I try to make my heart be still, to let every way there is to cry ourselves to sleep.
Sounds of Phil Collins on this one titled Every Day, bringing us to quarter to the hour of 6 o'clock. And before this one, Lionel Richie, Love or Love also came through, as well as The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, requested by our guest for today, Munashe Chavayanzara, also came through. Now, let's wrap up today's conversation with tips on how you can improve your public speaking skills. Akiri, we always do that towards the end of the show. You know, just give us strategies or practical tips on how you can try to improve whatever improvements you need to do or to make, based on whatever the conversation is on that particular Sunday. So we all know that few are immune to the fear of public speaking, right? Like very few people are immune to the fear of public speaking. Other people, you can even ask them, can I bring for you snacks? They'll be like, fine. scared of flying, they'll be like, no problem. Public speaking, they'll be like, yikes. Just thinking about public speaking, routinely described as one of the greatest and most common fears, can make your palms sweat. You know, but there are many ways to tackle this anxiety and learn to deliver a memorable speech. And we are going to look at 10 tips for public speaking. And the first one is nervousness is normal. So all you need to do is practice and prepare. Old people feel some psychological reactions like pounding hearts and trembling hands. Do not associate these feelings with the sense that you will perform poorly or make a fool of yourself. Some nerves are good. The adrenaline rush that makes you sweat also makes you more alert and ready to give your best performance. So the best way to overcome anxiety is to prepare, prepare, and prepare some more. Take the time to go over your notes several times. And once you have become comfortable with the material, practice a lot. You know, you can even try to videotape yourself or get a friend or to critique, you know, your performance. And the second tip is to know your audience. Your speech is about them, not you as the presenter. Before you begin to craft your message, consider who the message is intended for. Menashe also mentioned this one. You know, learn as much about your listeners as you can, as this will help you determine your choice of words, level of information, organization pattern, and motivational statement. The third tip is to organize your material in the most effective manner to attend your purpose. Well, create the framework for your speech, write down the topic, general purpose, specific purpose, you know, the central idea, as well as the main points. Make sure to grab the audience's attention in the first 30 seconds. And a clear example that Menashe gave us is, you know, sometimes you can just try to quote a very known figure. He mentioned Nelson Mandela. We all know Nelson Mandela was, I don't even know which word to describe what he was. And if you have to use that, a quote from Nelson Mandela, that guarantees you to grab your audience's attention in the first 30 seconds. And you will have your audience's attention probably the whole entire time when you are delivering the message. The fourth tip is to watch for feedback and adapt to it. Well, keep the focus on the audience, gauge their reactions, adjust your message, and stay flexible, because delivering a canned speech will guarantee that you lose the attention of or confuse even the most devoted listeners. The fifth tip is to let your personality come through. Be yourself. Don't become a talking head in any type of communication. You will establish better credibility if your personality shines through, and your audience will trust what you have to say if they can see you as a real person, not just as anybody who is trying to give a public speech. And the sixth tip is to use humor, tell stories, and use effective language. You know, inject a funny anecdote in your presentation, and you will certainly grab your audience's attention. Audiences generally like a personal touch in a speech. You know, an example of that can be a story. A story can provide that precisely. And the seventh tip is to don't read unless you have to. You know, work from an outline. Reading from a script or slide fractures the interpersonal connection. So by maintaining eye contact with the audience, you keep the focus on yourself and your message. And a brief outline can serve to jog your memory as well as keep you on task. And the eighth tip, well, says that use your voice and hands effectively. Menashe also mentioned this, that it's also very important. you know, to use your hands effectively when you are giving a public speech. And also omit nervous gestures. If you realize that you are nervous here, try to hide them as much as you can. Because if you now start showing that you are very nervous, you are even shaking, your words are not even coming out. What is your audience going to think? So nonverbal communication carries most of the message. And good delivery does not call attention to itself, but instead conveys the speaker's ideas clearly and without distraction. The ninth tip is to grab attention at the beginning and close with a dynamic end. Do you enjoy hearing a speech that starts with, today I'm going to talk to you about? Most people don't. So instead, you could probably start by using a startling statistic, an interesting anecdote, or concise quotation. You know, for example, like Mudashe said, if you are speaking about HIV, right, or HIV AIDS, you can't start that public speech with, today I'm going to talk to you about HIV AIDS. No, you can't do that. So you could start off with that, you know, research that has been done by this particular organization will discover that, you know, which number can I think of in this moment? Maybe I can say 5 million people globally are living with HIV AIDS or are infected with HIV AIDS. So that can actually be very interesting, and it captures, you know, the audience attention into trying to listen and get more information about the speech you are trying to deliver to them. So conclude your speech with a summary and a strong statement that your audience is sure to remember. That wherever they go, they will remember the statement that you closed with. And last but not least, use audiovisual aids wisely. Too many can break the direct connection to the audience, so use them sparingly. They should enhance or clarify your content or capture and maintain your audience attention. Very, very important. Use audiovisual aids wisely. Don't use audio visuals that are going to take the audience attention from you now that they are not even hearing what you are talking about. They are just looking at these audio visuals. So use them wisely, because too many can break the direct connection that is with you and the audience. So these are the 10 tips you can try if you are looking to polish your art of public speaking. Like I've mentioned earlier on before, it is not something easy. I've even heard that even if you've been speaking publicly for quite some time, you still get nervous. Even our guest today mentioned that fact as well, that you still get nervous, but it just becomes better in how your body handles the nervousness or the anxiety, that you even speak with normalcy. People who are listening to you, they will not even pick up the fact that you are anxious or you are nervous. So practice also. Let's practice, guys. Let's try to speak publicly. Are there any chance you get to speak publicly? If you know that you are struggling, please grab it. That's what I told myself, that I will not shy away from anything that has to do with public speaking. Anything that has to do with public speaking, please get hold of me, because I am trying to polish my art of public speaking. I also struggle sometimes, even though I am getting to a place where I can fully manage my anxiety or my nervousness when I'm speaking in front of people, because it's not easy coming from a background where you present to people you don't see at all. You guys just have conversations on air. It's not easy to be in front of people and have to deliver a message, information, or speech. It is not easy at all. So let's go out there. Let's shine. when it comes to public speaking. And I hope today's conversation will help one or two out there who was listening, who tuned in. And of course, Munashe's insight as well in today's conversation. I hope it helps one or two or many of you out there who are struggling with public speaking. Because initially, it is something that you are going to come across with at any point of your life. Maybe one day there's going to be a family meeting or a family event that will require somebody, you know, to do a public speech, and you might be the only person who will be in that position to do that, and you don't have the skill. What are you going to do? Obviously, you can't run away from it. You cannot. There are those speeches, you know, that require certain family members in the family structure. And probably in that moment, you will be the only person that has to give that public speech. And you will have to speak whether you like it or not. So let's find ways to try and polish this skill, because I believe that it is one of those skills that all of us need to have. And I think this is also even why they have incorporated it in university, because I've seen that in university, you do a lot of class presentations. At first I didn't like it, but then I realized, no, there's a reason why this is actually incorporated in most modules, where you have to prepare a presentation and then you go stand in front of your classmates and then you give a presentation. So that is also to try and prepare you for the world out there, because you will be doing presentations, public speaking, all these things. So let's try and work and polish on that particular skill. It is 2 minutes to Eagle Spot Zone. That is with Ende, from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8. And I believe this is where I say my lovely goodbyes to you, right? I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Our little girl, she is no more that little anymore. 6 years old. That's a lot. She is really growing. And of course, it is a lovely day for all of us here at Eagle FM. And I'm sure also to our beautiful listeners, it is a special day. With that said, this is where I say my lovely goodbyes to you till Sunday. Same time, same place, leaving you with the sounds of Mary J. Blige, Be Without You. Adios.
Go. Neither one of us knew why. We didn't build nothing overnight, cause a love like this takes some time.